Thanks, Sam, and thanks, Vanessa, for reading our scripture this morning. And good morning to everyone. I hope you're doing okay. I love the sunshine this week. It's getting a little warmer. It helps in these conditions to have that sun coming out just a little warmer and the days a little longer. Well, recently I ordered a couple things online, and one item was for me and the other item was for my son, Justin. And since waiting for packages is in the mail is probably the most exciting activity these days, at least in our house, we couldn't wait to get our stuff. And I kept tracking the items on Canada Post and seeing if there's any evidence that it's actually arriving. Justin kept asking me if the package was sent yet. After all, what we ordered for him was his graduation gift. But nothing was happening. There was no indication, no notices, no new notices, no movement at all. But the thing is, we actually were getting some packages in the mail. In fact, while we were waiting, three packages came in the mail. But all of them were for Cheryl. But unlike Justin and myself, Cheryl was not even expecting her packages because she actually forgot that she had ordered them at all. Every package was like this delightful little surprise for her while we impatiently waited. So we had a good laugh over this irony. Well, my package finally came, but sadly, Justin still must wait. So, my friends, how is your patience meter these days? So let me just create the meter here. Are you on like full over here somewhere? Or is it going down to empty? Here, give me your meter, everyone. How's it going? Which way are we going? Yeah. It's tough these days. You know, the National Post said that half of Canadians have seen their employment status change because of the coronavirus. That's a lot of people. The Edmonton Journal reports that 5% of Edmonton businesses are now closed, and 58% are just hanging in by a thread. These are concerning times for a lot of business people. This past week, we were talking to a pastor from Ottawa on an online mentoring group, and he said to us that he had to bury an elderly lady from their church who died of COVID-19. And the agony of the situation was compounded because apparently in Ottawa, you can only gather 10 people at a time. So they only could have 10 people at her funeral. And that it included, of course, the attendants and the pastor himself. And so most of the family who grieved her loss and her friends could only grieve from a distance at their own home. These are truly challenging times for people across our country. Now, the passage that you heard read this morning is deeply concerned about our patience. James, the half-brother of Jesus, was writing to people who were running out of patience because of many frustrations that they were facing. There was hints in the letter of friction because of injustice between the rich and the poor. That was probably something within their society, but also showed up in their own congregation. And so not only did they face this kind of trouble, they faced persecution from the Roman Empire, and it looks like there was some friction between themselves as well. So if you look at your Bibles, James chapter 5, verse 7 starts out saying this: "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming." Now, in this brief verse, we are both given a destination and a journey. A destination and a journey. Now, the destination is this. The Bible teaches us that Jesus, who is Lord, is coming again to earth a second time. And he will come and he will usher in his new kingdom, a new heaven and a new earth, making all things new and right again. And so this is the hope of every Christian that we talked about last Sunday, all made possible because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is sovereign over everything, and someday he will return and establish our new home with him. That is our hope. That is the destination. But the author, James, is a practical kind of guy. James is a very practical letter. And deeply rooted in this destination of the coming of Jesus, James is also concerned about the journey. Not just the destination, but the journey. This journey of faith. And this journey of faithful waiting is about how we will live until Jesus comes again. And so we are called to live with patience until the day of Jesus comes. A day when the Bible teaches us that no one knows when Jesus will come. Jesus said himself in Mark's gospel and other gospels, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven knows. Now, some people are very fixated on end time hysteria, but I find this produces faithless fear and not faithful patience. Now, for example, when something bad happens in the world like 9/11 or earthquakes in Japan or Turkey or tsunamis, and now, of course, this coronavirus, doomsday prophets show up at the front door of your mind. And they teach you that the Bible has predicted certain specific cataclysmic events that will occur as a sign of Jesus' return. Now, the problem with this approach is that cataclysmic events occurred in the first century, and they have happened for the last 2,000 years, and Jesus has still not returned. For example, 1918, the Spanish flu pandemic wreaked havoc all over the world. This is 100 years ago. And eventually, over the process of several years, 50 million people died as a result of that Spanish pandemic. I mean, that was gigantic. Schools were closed. Churches were closed. They practiced social distancing just like we are right now. Preachers spoke about Armageddon and the end of the world. This also happened all at the same time as World War I. I mean, talk about chaos. So people were afraid. Now we've gone through World War II, which happened, 20 years later or so. And even back then, everyone wondered if this was the end of the world. But Jesus still did not return. And so our focus needs to be on this faithful journey of faith that is deeply rooted in the coming of Jesus, but also the presence of Jesus is here right now. Didn't Jesus say he would be with us to the very end of the age? And so our focus has to be on this journey right now, this journey of faith, knowing that Jesus will come again, but focus on this journey. So what does James teach us about patience on this faith journey? Let me give you three things. First of all, we must journey like a patient and steady farmer. In first century Palestine, farmers were known to be patient. And today, farmers are still known to be patient. The farmer waits for the seeds to grow and mature and yield a bountiful harvest when it comes. And he patiently waits for the fall rain and the spring rain. This was particularly understood because of the climate. Back in Palestine, back in those days and still today, the climate was very arid and dry, and droughts were common, and water was scarce. And so the farmer required steady, long patience in these dry conditions. And so we are exhorted to be like a farmer in the ups and downs of an unpredictable fallen world. Farmers can't control the weather. We can't predict our circumstances. We had no idea this pandemic would come down on us here a month ago. But we need to walk this journey of faith with patience because we know that the Lord is always with us. And one day the harvest will come when Jesus returns. And so verse 8, James says, you too, be patient. Just like the farmer, stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. So learn to think like a farmer. Be patient like a farmer. Secondly, don't take out your frustrations on others. As we journey, we're journeying with other people. And sometimes this isn't easy. So verse 9 says, don't grumble against each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. You know, whenever we go through challenging times, it's easy to take out our frustrations on people, and particularly those we love, particularly those who have hurt us in some way. And so grumbling and bickering against each other is taking issues into your own hands by blaming or judging those who have somehow hurt us or mistreated us. But fighting and bickering and grumbling and complaining does not serve anyone well. And so we need to be patient with each other. Patience is the ability that God gives us by His Holy Spirit to withhold revenge, anger, bitterness, and grumbling, especially when we are hurt. Sometimes we call this forbearance or long-suffering. Our greatest example, of course, is Jesus Himself. And so Peter talks about this in 1 Peter 2, 21 to 23. He says this, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. He committed no sins, and no deceit was found in His mouth. When they hurled insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. You know, as each week passes by during this time, I think our patience will be tested even more. I'm not sure about you, but I already sense restlessness and impatience and frustration in the world around us. But we as followers of Jesus must be different. We need to stand out. We need God's patience because we don't have much of our own. We need God's patience. And so Paul reminds us in Galatians that one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is patience. Patience in trying circumstances. So what do we do? Well, what did Jesus do? Well, when He faced insults, it says that Jesus entrusted Himself to God the Father. He threw Himself upon God. And so we too must entrust ourselves to God our Father. We too must walk in the Holy Spirit that Paul talks about. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Ask God to give you patience. Pause, pray, and simply ask Him so that we don't blow our tops just like when a tea kettle is accidentally left on the burner and it keeps boiling and boiling. Ask God for His patience. On this journey of faith, thirdly, God blesses those who persevere in faith. So in verses 10 to 11, Paul refers to many prophets as examples of patience in the face of suffering. But the person that he names and identifies is, of course, Job. He is blessed because he endured pain and suffering, and he persevered like no one else. So Job was known as a righteous man, and he was a godly man. And so he faced suffering, not as a result of sin or disobedience in any direct way, but through a series of tragic events, Job lost absolutely everything. It says he lost his livestock, basically his farm. He lost all his servants, and then he lost all of his sons and daughters. I mean, that is unimaginable pain. Then he was struck again. He lost his own health, and every square inch of his body was covered in painful sores. This guy was in a miserable mess, lost everything, and his own body was in pain. And so it says that Job's wife became very angry, and she questioned why Job would maintain his faith in God. She told him, "Curse God and die." But then Job said to his wife, "Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" All of us would be wise to listen to Job's wisdom and understand that bad things happen to everyone on this planet, even those who follow Jesus faithfully. You know, it seems to me that there are some Christians who think because they have the blood of Christ, they are forever protected from harm, including COVID-19. I've heard that again and again in the media, and it saddens me to hear this kind of teaching. Job faced what most of us will never face, yet he maintained a relationship with God. I mean, his suffering was increased even more when his friends falsely accused him of doing wrong. They thought, "There must be something wrong with you. And the reason why you suffer is because you've done wrong," they argued. Well, you know, Job was not perfect. He complained bitterly to God for his pain. But on the whole of Job's life, Job is given honor because he persevered and he maintained his relationship with God, and he sought God in the midst of his pain in deep and earnest prayer. I mean, he was complaining, but he was complaining to the right person. He was complaining to God in prayer. And so Job's life became known for his faithful perseverance in the face of untold suffering, and his life and his story remains as a model and a testimony for us to consider, especially during difficult times. So at the end of Job's life, the suffering did end, and he was richly blessed while still on earth. You know, when we go through suffering, we may not necessarily be blessed in the earthly sense, but most certainly those who persevere to the end will be richly blessed in their new home with God, which is far greater than anything else on this earth. In verse 12, James adds that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. This means that as Job suffered, and as you suffer, God does not stand idly by. Like we said last week, God is full of mercy and compassion, and he weeps for those who are in pain. He waits for us. He's always with us when we suffer. He has compassion on his children when we weep and suffer. And one day the blessings of God will far outweigh the sufferings that we face on this earth. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all." You know, the irony of suffering and issues like COVID-19 is that this is precisely the material that God uses to produce patience in us. It makes us impatient, but it can also shape you to be patient. Isn't that ironic? So Romans 5, 3 says this. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. I mean, that's quite the statement. We glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. There it is. Suffering produces patience. And then perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out. Can you picture that? Waterfall. God's love has been poured out into your hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So instead of anger, impatience, frustration, defeat, and maybe apathy, suffering shapes our character and produces new patience that leads to godly hope in our lives when we trust in Jesus. And here we are reminded that this was made possible because of the love of God when he poured out his Spirit upon you. You're not alone. God gives you his Holy Spirit that you can depend upon, that you can trust on, causing us to become even more patient as we trust him through our suffering. So trust the Spirit of Jesus when you hurt. God uses this material of frustration, of suffering, to shape our character, giving us greater patience and hope that lasts far beyond death. How could we not want this? How could we not want to grow and become like Jesus? And so let me encourage you, don't waste these opportunities. Yes, they're frustrating. We want it to go away. But the Bible teaches us that this kind of stuff is opportune time to grow deeper in our walk with Jesus, to grow more patient, to grow more loving, to grow more caring as you journey with God. Let me leave you two more passages, and I'm just going to read them, no comment, and then that will be it. James 1, 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lack nothing. And finally, Psalms 31, 34, be strong in the Lord and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Let me pray. Lord, these are just beautiful words from James and other passages. And in a lot of ways, they sound strange because in suffering, we probably don't appreciate in so many ways how it becomes like a gift to us. Because these are opportune times to deepen our walk with you. And so, Lord, during these times of frustration, I pray that we would think of ourselves as the steady, patient farmer, steady as she goes, looking forward to your coming. I pray that as we're like sardines in a can in our homes, that you would give us the patience as we must deal with the frustrations of our own family and friction and friends. Cause us, Lord, to be patient and to be understanding and to be patient with each other, and cause us to grow. May we look to you. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. God bless you.